Not every day, depending on someone to make you happy. Sometimes happiness comes from within. Drops
Mike.
the mic,
On that note,
yay,
2022. Yeah. Melanin and me, exploring the Black woman's experiences in Britain.
Hello, lovely ladies, and welcome back to another episode of Melanin and Me. And we have an exciting episode today where we're going to be talking, it's Ray and I talking about creating your safe haven. So we're going to be talking about our transition to moving in on our own and setting up our own little sanctuaries and talking about the process of how that worked for us, what things we found worked well, what things didn't work so well. So if you are planning to move in on your own, or you've got a friend who maybe is and you want to share this episode with them, hopefully they'll come away with lots of fun tips and things that they can learn from us, right, Ray? Because it was definitely a process, right?
Oh my God, it was a process and a half. And there's even like little things that nobody ever tells you about. In your head, you're like, yeah, I'm going to move and all I need is X, Y, and Z. Bro, when I tell you, when I tell you the amount of thinking, so in terms of like the move itself, oh, let me just get you started. Let me get you started. Let's dive right in. So basically, man's in Qatar now.
Woo!
Living my best life out here. But obviously before that, I was living in Manchester. So I had to move from Manchester to Nottingham back home and then back home to Qatar. So that process was hard. However, I had really, really strong people around me. I don't mean strong as in physically.
Although that does help. You know how hard it was moving my washing machine, you know? Things like full concrete. I had to get Craig down the road to help me.
I had some really, really amazing, incredible women. Shout out Ed, shout out Jody, shout out my family, shout out to you, Ash. People who are just there, people that came down and who are like, right, what are we doing? What's going in here? What's going in here? What's going in this box? And then the little things that you had to get rid of.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I don't know how you found it.
Literally, like, I realized I didn't think I had that many clothes. And the place that I've moved into, so I moved from kind of after a breakup, long-term relationship, moved into a house on my own that I'm renting. And I thought, right, I've got three wardrobes in this place, like built-in wardrobes, and then a chest of drawers. And I was like, yeah, I'll fill like one of those. How on earth these things are fully full, I cannot tell you. But you... it's a good chance to downsize. Like, it's a time that you can take and be like, right, I'm going to cleanse. I'm going to go a bit minimalistic. Well, I told myself, I was like, I'm going to go minimalistic. I'll just have like five pairs of socks that I just rotate, you know, and it just makes the choice a lot easier. Man, I literally have single socks flying out of my ears. Like, I don't even, it's too much.
It's actually mad. Edwina, shout out Ed. She was really, really brutal. Like, she'll hold something. She'll be like, when was the last time you wore this? Yeah, that's not coming.
That's the friend you need.
She was brutal.
That's the friend you need.
I was like, Ed, I need that. Jodie was just like laughing. She was like, yeah, she's a bit, I'm a bit of a hoarder, just like her.
Yeah.
And I think if it was just like me and her, most of the things would have just like come back to Nottingham. Mm. Whereas Ed was proper brutal and exactly what I needed, as you've said. Mm. Like, massive help.
It is important because otherwise you just there's always like little rules you can do, right? So like, have you worn this in the last 12 months? Like, that's a solid. But for me, and you're probably the same, it's like just in case, like, you know, me and my mum always have that rule, like, just in case, you know, like, oh, there's this blue denim jacket instead of a pink one, but you know, what if I have this situation? But the reality is, if you haven't worn it in 12 months, you're probably not going to be wearing it anytime soon. So,
and the thing is, my hoarding abilities come from my parents. Like, African household, we hoard literally everything. You should see it under the stairs. There's like boxes that are going back home. Let me tell you how long they've been there for. Months and months.
Too long.
Yeah, for too long. And things do get shipped off, but it's not as easy as just like driving something down to like the charity bin or to a charity organization. It's not that easy. One of my friends actually that I've met out here in Qatar, shout out Tony, she was telling me about putting some of her clothes on, I believe Vinted.
That's the one. I just started that.
Yeah. So she was saying how she was selling things on Vinted and she was making quite a bit of money. And I was like, whoa.
You know what? You know what? I feel like you're either on it or you're not, because I tried to tell myself this. So everyone had talked to me about Vinted and I was like, right, I'm making a bag of clothes that are just not sellable. Then I've got these that are maybe branded, whatever, because you got to know what is worth your time.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, I've taken pictures, I've uploaded them all. Have I looked at the app? And I know I've got notifications. I've probably got people ready to buy them. One thing I would definitely say, know your strengths, because I do not have the time or energy with Vinted. I just don't. Some people love it. Like they absolutely live for it. And they're like, oh my God, I've made Fiverr. I've made a tenner. I've made this. And they're ready to post it off. Not me.
Yeah.
No, I'm ready to just give it to charity, feel like I'm doing a good deed, you know, help with the whole sustainable clothing and stuff, which obviously you do with Vinted as well. But it's like a little mini part-time job if you've got a lot of stuff to sell. But it's a good way to make a little bit of money, because Lord knows when you move in on your own, you've got additional bills and things to be thinking about. Yeah. So
that moves on us nicely onto our little our next topic, which is like, what were the first thing that you purchased and what were the priorities for you? Tell us a little bit more, Miss Ash.
Yeah, I think when I moved, it was like, well, top priority was safety, but we'll come on to that later, like in terms of location. So I wanted to be somewhere that I felt, you know, living as a woman on your own was going to be somewhere that I felt safe and protected. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the actual interior of the home, I'm a big colour scheme person. So I wanted it to be quite earth tones and things like that. I love my mustard and like greens and stuff like that to kind of make it feel just more neutral and peaceful, and having lots of plants and stuff and just making it feel quite homely, because I'd kind of gone from a house where I felt like it was quite temporary and kind of had lots of different things that mismatched. And I wanted it to feel more, although it's a rental, it's somewhere that I feel like I've put my own little touch on and it's quite girly. As we all know, I love my quotes, having lots of quotes up. But the two key things really were having a garden, because I've obviously got my two cats, but I realized from my previous how important having a garden for me personally and my mental health was. And then also having a spare room for working from home, because it's just so easy to just work anywhere when you're working from home. But again, from a mental perspective, how important it is to be able to shut yourself off so you can kind of start and end your work day as if you're going into that room and leaving, rather than propping your laptop up on your bed or your sofa or somewhere where actually you can't then disassociate your personal and working life.
So when you enter that room, it's like you've entered the office where you're like, hi Dave, hi Sally.
Yeah, but you ain't got no one to talk to. Exactly.
I didn't have the luxury of having a garden, obviously here in Qatar. I'm in an apartment. So I am in a sort of like, I'm on the first floor of like a 3-floor apartment block. And for me personally, the one thing that I would say was like a must in the actual house was having plants. I love having plants now. For me, that was like the big one. And I was a bit worried actually with like temperatures and like what sort of plants would I be able to have. But you know what? There's an IKEA in here, like in Qatar. Well, not just an IKEA, but there's IKEA out here. And there's like all these amazing and incredible plants that you can get. And like, yeah, the options are like endless. As long as you've got money, you can buy whatever you want.
It's funny how, I don't know, I just got to an age where I was like, yeah, I love plants. I think they have definitely come more in fashion, I think. It's definitely more of like I would always see it on Pinterest and be like, yeah, I definitely want like loads of plants. But I think in terms of feeling a little bit more closer to nature and feeling like you've got a bit of the outdoors inside, and obviously from a wellness point of view, even just little things like my morning routine, like obviously not every day, but I'll get up, I'll water the plants and kind of, you know, before or after meditation. And it's like, I don't know, it's just something wholesome about it, isn't
there? Yeah, 100%. And it's so funny how you said that it's a journey that now we're like fully fledged adults living on our own. We're appreciating that a little bit more, because I remember like growing up in Zanzibar, and I remember my grandma like doing the garden. So she had like a plot of land that she used to like grow everything on. And when she used to be like, come out and help me, I'd absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
But now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that was so good for like her mental. That was like her little morning routine. She'll like get up, have her breakfast, and then she'll just go out to the garden and like do whatever she needs doing on the different plants that she's got on the on her land plot for a good hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. She'll be out there watering, doing all sorts. And I just look back now and I'm thinking, yeah, she had life figured out.
She had it figured out. Yeah, because when you're young, you just don't think about those things. And like, you know, it's not really cool. But again, like you say, I mean, I started to, I think it's just you sort of get to that point where you enjoy the simple things in life, don't you? But so I'm going to, you know what my, like, one of my, like, ultimate things I wanted to buy for my house that was on my Pinterest board.
Yes.
But, like, we've all got one, ladies. Yeah. Don't even stunt like you haven't got one. Like, we've all got those Pinterest boards, whether it's for, like, your nails or your hair or whatever. But we had our home ones when we knew we were moving. So what were, like, the main things on yours?
Oh, I had definitely a like candle, like a little section of candle area. So that was a big one. We've already said plants, an air fryer for the kitchen.
Do you know, my mum is so hyped about her air fryer recently. Like, yeah, okay.
Amazing. Such a great tool. And just, I wanted my personality in the house as well. Like, I recently got that t-shirt that I showed you the other day. So it's like a woman with like her afro hair in like a turban. And the quote on it is that she believed she could, so she did.
Yeah.
So just little things. And like, I've got loads of books like scattered around.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I'm in such agreement with you. I mean, I wanted to, you know, see my personality. I'm a massive photos person, of like memories and just things that will make you smile, because ultimately you're going to be in your home for, particularly if you work from home like myself, you're going to be in that place for a significant period of time. Or even if you're not, it's your place of rest, it's the place that you come home to, which is your home. And I actually love it now. I feel really proud, because when people come in, they always say like, oh, like, it's so calming in here, or like, this is so new, and it's like good vibes and stuff. And obviously with me, like, I'm big on crystals and I love like all my different crystals and stuff, so I have them placed around the home to kind of balance the energy, and kind of they have their different meanings and purposes for the different rooms and stuff as well. But it's like, when you get that feedback from other people as well, it's like, I already love it for me, but I like that then people who feel welcome and they feel like it's a good, because you know, when you walk into a place, whether it's quite hectic or you can set the mood very feng shui, isn't it, like based on how you set the room up.
I didn't know much about that. How did you say that? Feng shui.
Feng shui.
Feng shui. See, I didn't know about that until my friend told me about it, because she was like, your bedroom, this was my bedroom in Manchester. She was like, the feng shui, whatever the word is, that in this room is really bad. She was like, because the door, like the bed was like against the wall where the door is, but you couldn't see if somebody was coming in, you couldn't see.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, and then I started looking into it, and it's all about how you place things in your rooms, isn't it?
Precisely. For people who've never heard of it before, so feng shui is basically a Chinese phrase. So feng means wind and shui means water. So basically it's like derived from an ancient poem, and that talks about like how human life is connected to the environment around it. So it just means you're more purposeful about how you place stuff. And I think there was a great episode or documentary on Netflix I watched a few years ago called The Minimalists, or Minimalistic or something. It's an American pair who basically, they've done lots of stuff, they've done books and documentaries, but this was specifically about how they went from being like these big corporate guys who earned so much money, and they were really, really unhappy. And then they transition to kind of then just stripping everything back. And, you know, when you get more money, you learn how to spend more, you learn how to buy all these gadgets and all these things, but it doesn't actually make you any happier, right? So what they found was, for instance, let's say the clothes thing, that stresses me out because I'm like, you've got so much more choice, you know, you've got more things to potentially place and have to put places, it's more clutter. But actually, you know, having just very simple things around, it gives your brain that, like, just being able to cleanse it, you know. I don't know if you're like me, but when I have my spare room and whenever I'm stressed out, that spare room looks like a bomb's hit it. Like, it's just a dumping ground. And you can generally tell my mood based on the reflection of the house, because if things are just everywhere, it's like that's where my brain's at.
I'm similar to that as well, like especially my bedroom. If I'm in a good headspace, everything's like nice and clear. Everything is where it should be. I've got the diffusers out. I've got the candles out. I'm
Literally.
watering the plants whenever they need watering.
Oh,
I'm
Mother
making,
Teresa.
And then there's days where you've got a handbag on top of the, I don't know, the dressing table, or you've got, I feel you, sis. I feel you.
But it's a really good awareness thing, because I remember somebody else telling me that and saying, like, you know, because I never really realized it about myself. And they were like, whenever you've got a pile of laundry, like, generally that means you're overwhelmed. And as soon as I kind of clocked that, I was like, oh my God, that's so true. And once you kind of acknowledge it, it doesn't mean to say it's never going to happen, but it's actually, that's almost a trigger to be like, you need to pause, you need to step back, you need to do something, give yourself that time. And I know that one of the things that both of us did, I think we spoke about it, didn't we? And I sort of, I think I inspired you, maybe, potentially.
You
I'm
inspire
gonna
me every
claim it.
day.
Ah,
You inspire
stop
me
it,
every
stop
day.
it. I so we talked, I don't know how we got talking about it, but about a cleaner. And I think, like, for me initially, I always just think it was quite a bougie thing. Like, oh, who's got a cleaner? Like, that's quite a extra thing to have. And obviously you have to pay money and stuff like that. And it's like a something you would have to spend your disposable income on. It's not a necessity. Now, for me, I like to clean. I like to you know, kind of tidy up quite regularly and stuff. I don't generally tidy at least every day anyway, but I'll do like a proper clean every week. Now, for me, being quite a busy person, so obviously work full time, but then generally, like, whether it's the pod or other voluntary stuff that I'm doing, or even at weekends, I tend to travel somewhere or see friends or go out and about. It's very rare that I'm just home for the full weekend. And I used to find that then squeezing that time in to do like a really deep clean, like, every single week was then, it made me feel like I was never stopping, I was never pausing. Because you've got to do the food shop and prepare your meals and do all of that stuff as well, which is everyday life. But I think for some people who maybe have less commitments or less extracurricular, maybe that doesn't feel as onerous. But for me, it got to a point where I was like, I know how important it is for me to have a clean house, but do you know what? It would be nice to have a bit of help and take the burden off a little bit for my own mental. So I obviously then got a cleaner who comes every other week and just blitzes the house for a couple of hours. You know, it's like, I want to say £13 an hour. So it's, you know, that's sort of the sort of ballpark. I mean, you can get people cheap, you can get people more expensive, but I think generally I wouldn't aim to spend any more than that. And the difference it makes, you know, and I'm sure you'll feel the same, but for me, there's a thing called opportunity cost, right? So when you decide that you're going to spend something, you could look at it to say, okay, maybe that's £50 a month that I'm going to spend on a couple of cleans. But what do I gain back in return? Whether that is, you know, feeling like you've got that half a day left for yourself, or whether that's just actually you've
Time
got
is
a full
money,
night.
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And your mental health is something you should prioritize. So if it's something that you recognize is important to you, and actually, I mean, after she's gone, I'm like, ah, oh, and it's nice because it's something that's being done for you, the same way that you might go to the hairdressers, and that's something that you want to pay for as a service that makes you feel good, but it's just in a different, in your home.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you
Let
something.
me tell you.
Getting that cleaner when I was in Manchester, so when I moved in on my own, getting that cleaner was the best thing that I did, because coming back on a Friday after a busy day of work and everything is where it should be, everything is nice and clean, best thing ever. And moving to Qatar, like, I'm about the soft life. I'm a soft life ambassador. I'm here to enjoy and relax. Honestly, I am here to enjoy and relax. So your girl's got a cleaner again. And
yeah.
And they do a deep clean. They come every week. They do a nice deep clean on everything. They leave the house nice and spotless. And it's just about upkeeping that and maintaining it throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the week, she comes in again. So it's constantly in a place where I feel like it's safe. It feels like it's a little haven. Like I come back from work and I actually like sigh with relief that I'm yep. here in my little mm-hmm. haven. I'd hate to be somewhere. And I have been in those situations in the last 2-3 years where you're coming back from work and you're like, oh, bro, I'm here again. It's like,
yeah,
not really nice.
That's the one place that you've got full control over. You know, 100%. You've got the ability to make it how you want it. And, you know, mm-hmm. the same way, safe haven, like obviously I always reference my home as a little sanctuary and, you know, that is your place, you know, so do with it as you wish and don't do what you think everybody should do. And some people can be a bit judgy. And I think, you know, do bear that in mind. Like I, you know, we're obviously endorsing and recommending cleaners for people who maybe that would be something that would be of benefit to them. But like, one thing I would say is like, be mindful who maybe you share that with, because I do think like there are certain, whether that's family members or friends, who can be a bit like, oh, you got it like that, is it? Oh, we got a cleaner sort of thing. Like, you know, do it for you. Don't do it to go and shout about it or talk about it, or, you know, do it for you and stick to your guns. And you can try it for like, you know, 1 week or two. And if it doesn't work for you, because some people don't like the invasion of privacy. So for instance, for me, I used to when I've had previous cleaners, but I don't like to give them my key where they clean when you're not there. So I'm always here. So I'm working from home. Because
another thing as well is that they are so good. Like even what I tend to do is like, I tend to give her like a list of what needs doing.
Yep. Be specific. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really intentional about exactly what I want. Yeah. If there's anything that I'd like for her to like go over again, I make that clear so she knows. And at the end, we've got the same expectations then. So when she finishes, everything is how I wanted it to be. Now, I tried this with my, we tried the cleaner with my parents' house and the lady went to my mum's. She did what she needed to do for however many hours. I think it was like 3 hours. And then she left and I spoke to mum and I was like, mum, how was it? She was like, well, she didn't really do what I wanted her to do. And I says, did you have the conversation to tell her what you needed doing? She was like, oh, no, I didn't. And I says, well, how do you expect someone to do something if you didn't tell her what you wanted doing? So she never...
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? This is a time for you to practice like, as women, we sometimes can find that we want to be a bit shrink ourselves and not be as, you know, upfront about stuff because it can come across a bit brash or a bit sort of forward. But actually, it makes everyone's life easier because the last thing that you want is her leaving or him leaving and it not being the job that you wanted, and they don't want the same for you either. So, you know, as you say, some cleaning companies actually give you a specific paperwork that you fill out before so they you can say what you prioritize, but just have a conversation. The thing that I always found is, for me personally, I prefer to have a cleaner later in the week, so like a Friday. Mm-hmm. So then you've got the weekend to just, if you're going to be home, you know, or you're going to host people or have people over again, it just gives you that peace of mind that you're not then having to get up early on a Saturday morning, rush around the house and run the Hoover around, that sort of thing. But anyway, we're going to move on from cleaning. We talked a lot about cleaning because clearly that is a big thing for us. What would you say, Raya, top tips for living on your own as a woman?
Oh, top tips, living your own. Definitely lock your door.
As opposed to what, leave it wide open?
I say that with a story behind it. So when we got to Qatar, everyone was like, oh yeah, it's a really safe country. Like, crime levels are really low. So some of my friends that I work with, one of the girls the other day, she came to school and she was like, really random, but one of the girls that I live with on my block, someone just wandered in her house on the phone, looked around and then left.
Interesting.
And then left the house. And I was like, this woman was walking around her house, what was she doing? She was like, well, she panicked. She didn't really know what to do, so she locked herself in her room.
Oh my goodness.
She locked herself in her room. I was like, what is going on? What the hell? But yeah, definitely locked her room. Number two, make sure when you first move in, you've got all the essentials. What do I mean by that? Essentials include duvet covers. So not having, obviously you'd have the one that you're using, but you need another one because I made that mistake.
And towels.
Yeah, and towels. Well, I made it making sure that the bed that you have and the bed sheets you have match up, because that could be a problem. That's my top tip.
That's just a given. Don't buy a single duvet for a king size bed, no?
No, because we got told we got... Never mind.
So a top tip for me. So I learned from my friend who I was staying with earlier this year before I moved in. So she's lived on her own for quite a while now. And there are a couple of things that she sort of taught me. One of which was have a weapon in every room.
At
first I was like, hold on. And it made complete and utter sense. And this is really like, I don't mean to scare anybody, but you do have to think about these things, unfortunately. If somebody, like, God forbid, entered your property, right? Mm-hmm. We all like to think, because in the horror films, we're all in the kitchen when this moment happens, where there's a knife, yeah? However, this could happen at any point when you're in any room of the house. So if, for instance, that were to happen, what have you got in your physical reach that you're able to then, you know, defend yourself with? Now, I'm not talking about trying to shank nobody, or I'm not trying to condone violence here, but what have you got that you could defend yourself with? So, for instance, it may be a typical baseball bat. It may be a pair of scissors. It may be whatever. But something mm-hmm. that you feel, even if, like, for instance, obviously some houses have panic buttons, or there's a way to communicate or to alarm emergency services, like, super quick if something were to happen. But just thinking about protection wise for you, it, as mm-hmm. I say, it is nasty, but you have to really think about these things. That's why things like motion sensing cameras as well, and things where you can reach out to somebody who's maybe available to respond quickly. I know that the Apple Watch has, like, a really good, and other devices that, you know, you tend to have on you, like even your phones and stuff. Mm-hmm. They've got a way that you can contact the emergency service quite quickly. I think it was shared a lot after there was the lady who was in the news who got I think she got killed by a man who was following her or stalking her or something. And mm-hmm. it was something that people wanted to bring to your attention, that if you press the double button on your Apple Watch, it goes straight to calling emergency services. So if you know you've got that on your person at all times, then just know to research those things, have a look, see what works for you. But obviously, again, if somebody were physically in your space, just kind of being prepared for that.
Yeah. Do you have a fire extinguisher in your house?
That I do not. I don't think so.
No, I feel like that's quite important.
I feel like we need to evaluate our setup. Yeah.
I think I have one. But I need to know how to use it, though.
But genuinely, though, again, those things, like, you don't think about them until they happen. Mm-hmm. But it's important to almost think worst case scenario so you can be fully mm-hmm. prepared. Another thing that my friend had taught me was about keys, and I would have never thought about it until she said it, and now I'm absolutely petrified. But again, like, leaving your keys in the door. So if you lock your door at night, leaving your keys in the door, you know, there has been, unfortunately, cases where people have put their hand through the letterbox and they've then been able to take the key out of the door and obviously enter your property. So even little things like before you go to bed, take them out of the door, or even just during the day as best practice. Mm-hmm. Hook them up somewhere, put them somewhere where they're not in reach of a window or a door or anywhere that somebody could easily access as well.
Yeah. I guess the good thing about being in an apartment is that not anybody can get in.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the positive.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going.
Basically, I'm screwed. You're going to be fine. Don't worry. But also, if you're in an apartment or a flat, though, a good thing to bear in mind is like familiarizing yourself with other people. Because how many times do we have neighbors or have a part, you know, and we've never spoken to them, we've never introduced ourselves. That's why when I moved in, I was that overly friendly neighbor who was like, "Hi guys, my name's Ashley." Took a bottle of Prosecco around, introduced myself, gave them my number. So, you know, one, it's just a nice thing to do, but also you get to know their names, you kind of get to show them what sort of person you are, but you may end up being friends with them. I know the people, they're sadly moving out now, but my neighbors to the right-hand side, you know, we've both got cats and we could like WhatsApp about parcels and all that sort of thing, so you can help each other out logistically. But again, if something were to happen, you know that you actually even know who those people are, which I think is really important.
Yeah, that's what you raise a really important point. Another thing is knowing your fire exit point. Sorry, I keep going talking about fire. I don't know why, but that's quite important as well, especially if you're like in a block of flats. I know Grenfell Towers, that was really, really unfortunate, and so many people lost their lives purely because of the incompetence of the council. That's A, and B, like people not knowing where to go to, like where am I going?
So knowing all of those contingency plans, knowing all the safety measures, stuff with to do with your carbon monoxide, your gas detector, all of that stuff is, do it when you get in and just set yourself. So like for me, for instance, I sort of set myself in my calendar every few months or even every 6 months, like check-in points to go over all my bills to check if there's anything that I maybe need to change. But again, just do that logistical stuff with for your car, for your house, for whatever you need to, just so it's protected time, because that half a day you might spend just checking everything could be the difference between, saving your life or having a, significant thing in place that can really help you going forward. So last thing we're going to go into, top three or favorite top, let me get this right, top three items or favorite things within your household.
Oh, obviously plants, obviously. Number two is cat candles. And number three is my painting that I've got that's staring right at me. Those are my
Cute.
top three. What are yours? I'm intrigued. Have we got anything similar?
My definitely candles. So I'm a big candles and incense person. I can't go a day without having something smelling nice in the house. You actually gave me my diffuser, which is I club together with the nice scented stuff, which is beautiful. And it's also I like the calming noise that it makes. My egg chair. I absolutely love my egg chair. It's one of those hanging ones that you can just sit in and kind of cradle yourself in. And sometimes I like to go outside. I sound like a little old lady now, but go outside and like
Cup of
at night
tea.
with a cup of tea, the cat comes and sits with me. But at nighttime, it's really nice because what you can stargaze and kind of just chill, listen to a podcast, or just relax or whatever. So my egg chair is definitely one.
Can you actually see stars in your back garden?
Yes, bro.
I couldn't see stars in Nottingham. It must be that polluted. You live in nice end stuff.
I'm in Suffolk. I'm not in old groggy Nottingham. Nah, we actually can see the stars and the moon too, you know. What's my third thing? I quite like my sofa. I've got like a corner sofa. I would say like
Yeah,
plants and stuff.
lovely
I kind of already
sofa.
said that, but my sofa is definitely, so it's a sofa bed that pulls out, because again, logistically, I was like, I wanted to maximize on the space, but so having a sofa bed was great, because then if people come to stay, which does, it's not like it's super regular, but it's there, it's a nice double bed, it means it's downstairs, so then there's a downstairs toilet and all that sort of thing. But it does make a big difference. And then actually the other thing I would add to it, I know it's three things, is I love to buy myself flowers every week as well, because
Love that.
I think often as women, we're always like, it's always the dream that we get men to buy flowers for us, or we get our partners or whoever to buy flowers. We want to receive flowers, right? But sis, buy yourself, treat yourself. When you're going for your food shop and you're getting your bread and your milk and everything else, get your little flowers. I've got my beautiful little roses here, and it will make you smile. And you like, I did this, and I don't need that from somebody else. It's nice, don't get me wrong, but
not every day depending on someone to make you happy. Sometimes happiness comes from within. Drops the mic, Ray 2022.
On that note.
Yeah. On that note, that's my... I feel like there's something else, though, which I've forgotten. I quite like an open... To a certain degree, I do like the minimalist sort of, like, look to, like, a house, so it's not too clustered. I feel like I'm a bit traumatised from hoarding stuff at my parents' house, so I'm, like, minimal, get rid of anything that I'm not using ASAP.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. What are your three songs that you want to add to the special Melanin and Me playlist?
Definitely Giveon, Heartbreak Anniversary. It's just like, who broke this man's heart? Because every note is just giving it some. And I can feel him. I feel his whole, like, persona, his whole heartbreak. Another one is, do I say that one? Thames, Try Me.
Yeah.
I really like that. And then last one is one that I've been listening to all this week. Chris Brown featuring LMA, Sex Memories.
Nice. I really love LMA.
Yeah. Chris Brown, a bit problematic, but we'll roll with it.
we'll just put that to the side.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for listening, ladies. If you found the episode was helpful, please do share it with your friends, families, partners, whoever it is that could benefit from it. Until next time, stay blessed, wear that crown of pride, and keep shining.